You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Ironcast, and welcome to the show to one of our longest serving first team players, 2019 Hammer of the Year, 175 games for West Ham, 5.5 years. Welcome to the sofa, Lukas Fabianski.
Oh, hello. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Lukas Fabianski. The intro, that was the bit I remember.
Lukas Fabianski. It's okay. I'll make it easy for you.
I've asked you just before we started this record if you'd calm down after the Sheffield United game, but you said, no, I'm not. I don't get angry about games.
No, to be honest with you, I've never been like, I told you that before, but I've never been emotional about the games. I always try to not stay calm. I think it's just my personality. I always approach it in a way that just the things, probably they have to flow in their own way. You can't really like, sometimes you can't really affect things. So they happen. For different reasons, and that's how I approach probably most things in life, and I think football is one of them. So that's how I mean,
I love the attitude, but I'm still fuming. So I don't know.
I
know what you're saying.
Yeah, but I think I don't know if that comes maybe from my position as well, because being goalkeeper, I think you really need to be calm, and because for us, making decisions is one of the most important things on the pitch. Because once you make a decision, it has to be a right one. Because if it's a bad one, any other position, you can get away with it. With the goalkeepers, I think if it's a bad decision, normally ends up with the goal. So I think that more or less maturity, because of that, maybe then helps me to approach things in a calmer way. So it is what it is. Yeah,
it's funny because I would say you're not like. I think, Ginger, I'm fair right in saying that most goalkeepers are nutters.
Yes.
Lucas, you're not a nutter.
No, like, but...
I realised that quite early on. You're so calm. I mean, you think of a lot of goalkeepers tend to be erratic almost.
I wouldn't say nutters. Some of them are nutters. Some of them are just a bit different. Do you know what I mean? As in, like, I think you got to be a bit different to stand on your
own. There's very few zen goalkeepers.
But there's one bit which is different, that obviously we put our body on the line in some extreme situations in terms of getting hit with the ball in the face and things like that. I think that's different, yeah? And I'm willing to do that. I'm happy to do that. It actually excites me.
See?
But then...
you are crazy.
I really enjoy that. Like, even if you look back at today's training session, when we had a lot of 1v1s, 2v2s on the small pitch, so everything happens quickly. And there's one situation when... I don't remember who it was, but like it was 1v1 against me, got around me, and then Ingsy went in goal to block the shot. But the way he went, like...
Hiding from it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like, come on, it's just the ball. Like in my head, it's like...
Bag of air.
Yeah. Just throw yourself. Don't worry about anything else. But I think that's... Yeah.
That's what it is. I think with goalkeepers though, because it is a strange thing, isn't it? Because obviously you train on your own, then you've got your little goalkeeping, little crew with the goalkeeper coach. So it's a funny thing, like, we'd go off and do our, you know, possessions and all that, and you'd always see the goalkeepers, Lukas and the boys, separately on their own. So it is a mad little sort of school you got.
Yeah, but I think our training is so different to the you know, to the outfield players. There are some like things that relate, but in general, our training is completely different. And obviously, we have to work with hands. That's the main thing. We work a lot. In a very short spaces, working on correct decisions, on correct timing of the sets and things like that, recognizing the situations, reactions, you know, crossing and things like that. So it's a completely different session. So I think for the first bit, especially of the training, we have to be somewhere else working on our bits. Then once we start doing some like possession, maybe with the goalkeepers or small sided games and things like that, then we join the team. But yeah, our training is so different. So I think that's why we always end up somewhere on the other side of the pitch doing our own little things.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, because like you say, the goalkeeper, you goalkeepers are off training with each other, but you're fighting for one place.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a lot of time with like three or four of you, however many it is, but ultimately you're all trying for that one position. How do you deal with the kind of tension of that? Like spending a lot of time with someone, but also you kind of got to be competitive with them?
No, I think I always approach it in a way that I try to always look at myself and basically do my best. I don't want to really like create this kind of feeling of
competition.
If he does this, I need to do that better. No, I think for me, always the main focus was myself. So try to do the best things, the best that I can, in the best way possible, and then the rest is up to someone else, really, to make decisions. But me competing is really me pushing myself rather than looking at someone else how he do, and then like try. No, I'm gonna prove them. Like I do it better. Then I think from that comes that. Maybe this natural way of pushing each other. Actually, everyone trying to do their best. I think it's very healthy, rather than me trying. Because I think if I in the back of my head I would have this thing. Oh, he did it like that, so I need to do it like this. I don't think that works. I just think the main focus in competing it's making sure that you do your best and control just the things that you can control rather than focusing on someone else. So
try. Do you ever put extra power in your shots though against another goalkeeper?
No, I never.
Do you know what I mean?
No,
pass back to him or something.
I've experienced things like that in the past. And the previous clubs that there were goalkeepers that
like, do you know, with their service when it's not good, that's just
but it was funny because it wasn't always like some of them.
Really?
I won't name names, but
no, of course not.
It was actually opposite, so it was the slowest possible ever.
It's made it harder.
Yeah. I've experienced things like that. They happen. I think it's as well part of competing, I guess. Maybe it's a bit of an old school way, as I think. But to be honest with you, since I joined West Ham and I've been, with different goalkeepers, I think it was always very, very. Done in a respectful way. So actually I have to give like a lot of credit to Xavi, the goalkeeping coach, because the way I think he controlled the group, which is always not easy to control, different characters competing for one place, but the way he did it, I think it's really cool. So I don't think I ever experienced actually something like that over here. So
we'll talk about Xavi in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wanted to rewind the clock right back and talk about, you started your career in Poland and you really asserted yourself as a first team goalkeeper, mm-hmm. at Legia Warsaw, but you also had trials at a whole host of English clubs, right?
Yes.
Arsenal, I think it was.
Who do you know?
Southampton.
Yeah.
And Big Sam at Bolton.
Yeah.
So early on
that
in your
career. That was scary.
That's
so
scary.
What was scary?
Oh my God, he was like. No, I remember I started with Bolton, but I was there at the age of 18 or 19, something like that. I just remember one incident with some other guys, actually. So we finished the training session and then we walked inside the training building to have lunch. And but I was training with the academy, and then the first team finished as well. So more or less, we were there at the same time, and he saw a few of the academy players, and I think I was one of them. that he came in, like started shouting, "Get the out of here!" Like started pulling them out, just like, you know, the first team goes first, like you. Wait, yeah. In the back, and so it was like, yeah, I was like, whoa.
Like, sounds like Sam that.
Yeah, so kind of, but I don't know if that was maybe because of the canteen wasn't the biggest one at the Bolton training ground, or yeah, probably they are the priority of the club, so they should go first. So he kicked all the academy boys out, and yeah, so that was my the only really experience.
And was Kev Nolan coming in to have his?
I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure he was there. But I remember at the time they had a crazy team, Bolton. Yeah. So many international players like Hieros, Campos, Okochas. And someone like
Joe Kev, JJ Kocha,
and Kev Nolan, and
Kev Nolan, someone called Kev Nolan.
What the, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I was Southampton was my first ever trial.
Who would the manager have been then?
Gordon Strachan.
Gordon Strachan, yeah.
Gordon Strachan was the manager. So I tell you like a little funny story. I was actually telling that to Prowsey as well the other day. We got there for the training on one day. I just got changed, came out, and we watched the first team training session before we actually started the training with the academy players. And I don't remember, but it was Antti Niemi and Welsh goalkeeper Paul Jones.
Paul Jones,
there. And then one of them got injured in the training session. And I just stood there with my gloves on. And I remember he shouted like, get the young lad. Like, so I went straight into small sided games. Yeah. And actually, I did well in that small side of the game. He was like kind of like impressed with me. Yeah. So then I got invited the second time. So that was the only time I trained with the first team during my first trial with Southampton. And I think because of that small sided games, they invited me again later on. So that was like a cool experience. Yeah. And with Arsenal as well, I got kind of scouted after the qualification for the under 19 European Championships. Yeah. So they invited me for the trial. So yeah, I was training, like had the chance to train with Dennis Bergkamp. I don't know, Thierry Henry was that like what was mental?
Proper team.
Proper.
And then so you eventually you go back to Legia Warsaw, where you really kind of like I said earlier, established yourself. You were 20 years old, first team goalkeeper. Yeah. I thought you don't really see many 20-year-old goalkeepers anymore get an opportunity.
Yeah, but I think Legia was it still is, to be honest with you, a bit different when it comes to that, because at one point I think they really decided, because the great thing about Legia is that they have a great goalkeeping coach who's been there for ages. And before me was actually Artur Borutz there. And then he went to Celtic. And they had this kind of trust that if they have a young goalie that is doing well, I played only for the second team for like 6 months with Legia. But they told me straight away when I signed for them, they told me straight away, listen, if you do well in the second team and there's a big chance that Artur will leave in the summer, we are willing to give you a chance in the first team. Then it's obviously up to you if you're going to do well or not. But they had this kind of way of trusting the young players, especially with the goalkeepers, because they knew the goalkeeping coach is really good. So he's going to prepare like a good goalie for you. And then obviously it's up to you how you're going to handle all the pressure with playing for the first team. So yeah, they gave me this opportunity. They gave me this chance. And yeah, it worked out pretty.
Did you feel when you got into the first team? Did you feel a pressure being so young, or were they quite
relaxed
with you?
Because I think like the first, it was really, I think the way they prepared me for this. So I was almost like expecting that to happen and mentally ready. It wasn't like a surprise for me that Artur is leaving and suddenly I'm being thrown. It was more or less like just keep your focus, keep playing well in the second team, then. Even the games for the second team were so important for me because I knew I had to like play well, play consistent. And then obviously I played some preseason games with the first team as well. So I did well in them. And then I remember like the goalkeeping coach came to me and said like, you know, it's not about the age really for us. If we think that you are good enough,
you'll play.
Yeah, you're playing and we're going to trust you. So I think that was so important for my development.
Did you have that calmness that you've got now, even then?
Yeah, I think even a bit more, like, slash...
a bit more calm then.
Yeah, but I think it was calmness slash, like, a little bit even more, like, reverse in terms of... not reverse. How do you say, like... I don't know.
Would you have been a bit more, less vocal, maybe, because you were young?
Yes.
So
I think that was one of the issues at the young age. A lot of coaches were saying that you have to be a bit more demanding, a bit more vocal on the pitch. So that was one of the things. But I think that comes with the experience.
Yeah, experience. Yeah.
You, after that, 7 seasons with Arsenal.
Yeah.
And you, weirdly, your Arsenal career ends with the FA Cup final against
Why weirdly? Why weirdly?
Well,
why
just, weirdly?
Like, I worked for it.
I mean, what, well, what a high to leave on.
Yeah, that was
but
cool.
But what was cool. I was interested in was that you kind of made up your mind that you wanted to leave.
Yes, yeah, 6 months before. Yeah.
But what?
I made the decision, I mean, 6 months.
Six, like, months before, but yeah, win the FA Cup and then leave.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I think that what was so, I think, cool in this whole situation, because informed the club and the manager that I won't be extending my contract. But on the other hand, they still trusted me to play me in all the games in the FA Cup. So I remember even like, I don't know, a couple of weeks of, yeah, before the final, the manager still came to me and asked me if I maybe would change my mind or not. But I said no. So, and then I thought, oh, maybe he's gonna drop me for the final, you know, but he still trusted me, he still played me, so I think that was really cool and done in a very, I think, in a respectful way, because then I wasn't really playing with them, you know. Sometimes towards the end of the contract you can be like, you know, maybe
left out
yeah, or maybe I'll play with them, asking maybe for this or for that, like, no, I just said, like, and my message was always very clear that I want to leave because I want to play more games. I want to be a number one goalkeeper, and that's my aim. And at the time at Arsenal, I didn't feel that, and it was proven because I wasn't playing in the league games. So that was the always aim for me. It was never about, I don't know, playing with the contracts and things like that. So yeah, I think it was really done in a very respectful way, and I think both sides actually understood the situation.
What age were you then, mate?
I was 29.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like...
It's quite a big... They offered you a contract, but you said no because you wanted to go... Oh, that's a big call, eh?
Yeah. No, it was...
Just because you wanted to play, you wanted to be a number one.
Yes, yeah. But it's funny because when I made the call, when I informed them in the January, I had no club that was interested in me. In me. So it was a bit of a like a risk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was willing to take
good confidence, though. You're confident
in
your own ability.
I think, to be honest with you, it took me a bit to actually gain that as well. It wasn't like I was always that confident and in making big decisions. But with this decision, I think we took a lot of risk at the start, but I think it paid off pretty good.
We talked about Wales just before we started recording this podcast. You described Wales as the greatest country in the world.
I think everyone does.
No, but listen.
But you loved your time there?
I loved it. And I think what makes it Wales special is the people. Like, really, I really mean that.
I agree.
I'm not disagreeing. No, you're like, getting angry.
I think the Swansea vibe, I don't know if that's because there's a lot of surfers and things like that over there, a lot
chilled,
of bass, and like it's very chill place, very chill place. So for us coming from London, when everything's like pace, quick, rush, big, you're getting to the place that is like so chilled and relaxed. People are like so laid back. Even at the club, the Swansea, the way they played football was very like, you know, the fans were always like, doesn't matter if you did well or not, they will always appreciate, like, you know, appreciate your effort. So that was so cool.
I have got to be careful what I say because I played for Cardiff for 5 years. So
okay, Cardiff, I think
I'll sit on the fence on this. All right. Swansea,
yeah, maybe Cardiff's a bit,
you know.
I had to, but Swansea, like, Siri, like from the very first day when we got there, it was just like amazing how people have treated us, like, even. I don't know, like Ashley Williams was the skipper at the time, and the way he felt, I think, that responsible that he has to not only bring me into the little like Swansea community of the players, but like my family as well. So his wife was as well like organizing a lot of things just to get to know each other wife, Mrs., like families and things like that. So we felt like from the very first day, like, wow, it's like amazing. The only minus, I would say, is weather.
Weather.
Oh, my God.
I wondered when it was going to come
up.
Oh,
my God. Oh, Jesus.
because
the Mambles and Gawa, it's so beautiful. It's just the weather.
Yeah. But Poland has harsh winters. Is it Swansea?
The Poland thing is that it's just really cold. It's like it can get to minus 10, 15, things like that.
It must be pretty bad in Swansea for Lucas to say, mention the weather when he's talking about minus 10 in Poland.
No,
I don't think it's quite that cold in Swansea.
The only thing, but rain and especially wind.
Yeah,
wind is a killer. Oh my God, it's a killer.
Yeah. But going back to Ash, he was my, I know Ash really well, Wales captain. Yeah. He's a great guy. And that team at Swansea at the time, was that when they'd been in the Premier League or they'd just come up when you joined them?
No, they've been there.
They've been established.
Yeah, years, right? I think that when I joined them, they played one season in the, so they, 2 years before they won the Carling Cup.
Of course. Cup,
I don't know how you called it at
what
the time.
What it is now,
And the year after they played in the European, I don't know if that was UEFA Cup or Europa League, I don't know. And that's the year I joined them. The year after they played in the European competition.
Yeah. Good team then as well.
Yeah, good team because then we ended up actually playing the best season in the history of Swans in the in the Premier League. We finished eighth, but with like the 56 points or something. So that was the biggest amount of points that Swansea ever got in the Prem.
Swansea actually ended up going down, sadly, and you were player of the season.
I was
that
part of the,
that final season, and then that this is when the opportunity to come to West Ham pops up in 2018. Yes. So how was the club sold on you? Was it a tough decision to come
for
in?
Me? No, not really. I was always in some way. A kind of like, I don't know if fun is the right word, but I had a bit of like bigger interest in West Ham because I always thought West Ham is like a very good club. One thing is because it was based in London, and for us as a family, we always wanted to come back to London at some stage. And on the other hand, I always had the feeling that, especially when we moved to the new stadium, I felt like you are trying to get somewhere that
like a new level.
Yeah, like almost a new level, like, you know, competing with the top teams. And I remember even speaking with my friend from the national team. Every now and then I always mention, I think it would be really nice to play for West Ham. Like, I think it's a really good club, big club, trying to always improve. And then once I found out that there was an interest from West Ham, I was really happy. Really, really happy. So yeah, I think for me it was quite easy to make that decision. Yeah.
All right, West Ham fans, one way you can support Ironcast and help us rocket up the charts and beat off the competition from other official football clubs podcasts like Chelsea and like Spurs is to get a 5-star rating or review from you. Support me and Ginger on the podcast, chuck us a 5-star rating review and help us rocket up the charts where West Ham belong, at the top of the table. Back on with the show. You are our first ever Polish player. But I wondered if you knew that down the road in the Czech Republic, we had a big goalkeeper in the 90s called Ludo Bukloska. Yeah, and I wondered, had you ever caught sight of him in the 90s growing up?
Oh, no. Like to actually watch him live, no, I never had a... Yeah. I know I'm old, but I never really.
I never had that all the time. Like now, I finish playing. Like people come back to me, and go, "Oh, did you play with Canio?" Yeah. Like players that have been like playing, like 30 years ago. People going, "Oh, you must know him." I'm like, I'm not that old. Like I only finished 5 years ago, but it's mad that people forget.
No, I had a chance to meet him. Great guy, but never see him playing. Yeah.
Didn't cross paths.
No.
Your first season were in 2018-19, your hammer of the year. We finished 10th. Mm. This is under Manuel Pellegrini. I mean, what a way to start your West Ham career straight away. Yeah, it's just normal for you. Yeah?
No, not normal. But I was coming off like I had a really good season at Swansea before. I know we got relegated, but yeah, I had like back-to-back player of the season awards from like Swansea. So I just try to carry on and build on what I've done at Swansea and as well carry on with the way I perform in the Premier League. So yeah, just try to continue to do my
A lot of players we have on talk about the club and the family feel and all that. Was it easy to settle? I know Nobes was always
us was easy. For us it was really easy. I think the thing that helped us as well was that we knew London good. And at the same time, I remember my very first day coming here to the training ground. So I walked in and Nobs was already there sitting in the canteen. And like, I just said, like, I went to say hello and then like you know, he hugged me, he called me, you're right, like this and that, like almost screaming into my face because you know, he's so loud. So I felt like, oh wow, that's cool, that's really cool. Yeah, so yeah, it was easy. It was easy from the start. And you know, there's a Polish physio as well, working with Marek. So you know, it was really cool because actually that's the first time I think in my career that there's someone in the within the like the medical coaching staff that it's Polish. So I thought, wow, that's actually, you know, cool as well. So it was easy, very, very smooth transition for us. Yeah.
Did the fans take to you like immediately? Because I, speaking for myself as a fan, I felt like our goalkeeper position had been in turmoil for about 6 years.
Turmoil,
Well,
whoa.
As a fan, I mean, I know you're in the goalkeepers union, so I know. I
think
appreciate that.
I think we need to name
but
names.
Whoa. I think since Robert Green left, we'd never had a really settled goalkeeper. And then when Lucas came in, suddenly as a fan, it was just so much more relaxed to watch West Ham play. And I wondered, did that gratitude come to you from the fans? It felt like, certainly as a fan, I was so appreciative of the job you were doing.
I think, you know what? Obviously, I'm not a person that follows the forums or like social media, things like that. What it's being said over there, but to be honest, since my boy got older and he started school and he goes to the school that it's a very West Ham community, his little football club is very like West Ham orientated, it's being run by big massive West Ham fans, so then I got to maybe experience
a little bit more.
Like feelings that people have towards me, so like I said, I'm very like family orientated, so I never go out much as well. I don't really follow things in the internet media, things like that. I'm always so focused on my work, so that's the main thing for me. But once, like I said, my son started to be older, started going, you know, little birthday parties, when I see some of the reaction of the other parents or some of the fans that I met there, I realized I think they.
So if we haven't won, if West Ham lost, does your son go to school still?
No. It's not.
I'd be hiding.
No, it's cool.
It's good.
No, but I just think I think the best word is like respect. I think I have,
I remember that first year you came in watching. I just left and watching, and you had a great season though.
It was, it was a good one. It was a good one. Even though as a club, I think the only down of that season was the start of it. Because I think if we would have picked up a few more points in the first four games that we lost, we was actually able to finish more or less in the European places as well. But the start, but then, it was a really good season.
How much did we buy you for from Swansea?
7 million.
I'm not sure if that was even that.
We're calling it Wikipedia.
Yeah, but I've heard it was...
more or less?
No, less.
Less.
It might have been a deal.
But to be honest with you, I remember having a conversation with the Swansea chairman at the time, Hugh Jenkins.
Hugh Jenkins, yeah.
Yeah, and he told me, because you've been so good for us,
they were happy
I'm not gonna
fair play to him.
Yeah, like I said, I think we always said, like I say we, because it's my agent as well, I think the way we try to always with the respect and clarity, so I think that, you know, sometimes helps us in football.
I want to bring up now Xavi Valero, who he actually came in as a goalkeeper coach under Manuel Pellegrini.
Yes.
When Pellegrini left, Xavi stayed on.
Yeah.
And he said, you've worked with him a long, long time. Can you give us you've been very complimentary about how good he is to work with. Can you give us a sense of how good he is on a day-to-day basis?
No, I know, but I'm trying to find the best way to say. But the one thing I like about him is that he's calm. He's probably as calm as me, especially now for me. So it's a bit different because I sit a lot on the bench and I see what's happening in front of me. So you have like two, three, four shouting, and he's just there sitting like
chilling.
Chilling. You know, like so it's more or less the. Maybe a lot like very similar to the way I see things, but at the same time he's very detailed, he's very specific on the little things during the training sessions. He noticed some things that maybe even before I joined I wasn't aware of in my game, so he I think the best thing about him is that he has a really good eye on really small details that can improve your game. So I think that really helped me. And then he's as well able to put it in training, you know, because I've had coaches maybe in the past that, you know, they would talk a good game, but once the training starts, you would end up with 10 volleys, 10 half volleys, and that was the training session. Stuff. Yeah, but I think you have to, like, obviously shown it, but at the same time, you have to be able to do it in training, repeating training, so you know you work on the good things.
Do you know when you get to a certain age as a goalkeeper, say Xavi come to you and said he'd noticed something, is it quite hard to change?
No.
Do you know what I mean? If he came and noticed something in your game and you worked on it enough, is it?
No, for me, because I'm a person that it's always...
Always think, trying to improve,
yeah,
trying to
learn. I think I'm a good listener and I'm easy to, how do you say, to be coachable. I'm not a person that will, I don't know, question or start confrontations. I always believe that when there's a, especially a goalkeeping coach comes to me and tells me, like, listen, focus on this, focus on that, I take it on board and I try to work on it. So I think that's one of my biggest and best bits about me, that I'm very coachable. I think I'm a good, like, listener when it comes to, yeah.
Your penalty saving record's been fantastic.
Yeah, just like the last game.
So, well, apart from that, yeah. Well, actually, I wanted to ask a question about that, because James McAtee held the ball.
Yes.
And then at the last minute, they switched it. Yeah, did you know that switch was coming?
I could sense it, because he wasn't the main taker for them, and I knew Ollie was there. I was only thinking between Ollie. I say Ollie because we played
at Swansea.
We were at Swansea together. Ollie or Oliver Norwood, because he's one of the most experienced players. He took some penalties in the past, so I was thinking maybe it's between. But then Norwood was staying a bit further away from the penalty box. So then I was pretty sure that McBurney would be the one that would take it. So.
And you would have done your homework.
I knew, because his favorite one is to the left side of the goalie in the big ones in the recent game against United. He scored there in some penalty shootouts for the national team for Scotland against Serbia. I think in the important ones he went there as well. But my feeling was. I don't know if I should give that away, but I think it's not.
I think it's fascinating.
So for me, it was
this.
Basically. They're under huge pressure as a club, bottom of the league. Last minute penalty, losing 2-1.
Last minute. Was it not like
105 minutes after the last
six
minute?
6 minutes were added, but it was in the 13 minutes. So for me, it was like the safest option is like a middle.
Yeah.
So I tried to stay as long as I could in the middle.
Oh, right, yeah, because you think so much pressure.
It's almost like the power blasted in the middle, because like I think they always expect goalies to dive. Because even the penalty for us, Prowsey was like, it was a decisive one. Yeah. So I was in my head, like, he's going to go middle. Like,
and he did.
He did, yeah. But then I have to say it's like credit to Ollie, because he actually went completely different way that he's used to. So it takes a lot of courage. And so,
I mean, moving on forward into your West Ham career, like the second season, like Pellegrini leaves, David Moyes comes in, and we start on this trajectory towards European football. We chatted to Angelo Ogbonna, and he talked about the Chelsea game at the London Stadium as being a game in which...
In the COVID era.
When Yarmolenko scored the last-minute winner.
Okay.
And Oggy said that the club just seemed to turn that night.
Yes.
And so I want to speak to the second person involved that we've spoken to about that night. Did you get that sense as well that this football team was changing?
Yeah, because I remember until that moment, because that was still the season when we were like fighting to avoid the relegation. Yeah.
Mm.
I think we're very like up and down with the results at the time, and I think we really needed like a big win against like a big team. And I think in that game, if I'm not mistaken, I think we were losing, 2-1 or no?
Yeah, it was a 3-2 victory.
Yeah, we won 3-2, but I think we were until some point we were actually losing. So I think that win, and especially scoring in the last minute of the game, I think that gave us like a massive boost of confidence. And then we're able to survive in that season. I think that just carried on into the next one. So I think that game was amazing. Because I think somewhere around the Tringham, there's a great picture of the bench from that game.
Yeah, seen it.
Yeah, when you see like people hugging each other, even though you should keep the 2 meter space. So you see people with the mask on, like hugging each other. So that was, I think it shows how special and like meaningful that game was for us. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the following season, 2020-2021, finished sixth, 65 points, a club record. How much did the atmosphere change over those years? It just felt like it was almost, we were watching it as a fan, a different football team to what we'd seen in the few years before.
I believe when we played in the pandemic, this extra pressure that sometimes comes from the fans, doesn't matter if that's away or home, it was just like, it wasn't there really. So I think it helped us maybe to start believing a little bit more in our abilities. And then we've been able to put in a really good run of games, of results. And then I think once the fans were back, I think we are at such a good level of confidence as a team that I think that it just carried on to finish the season well and then to build on that as well. So I think the fans being actually excited to be back at the stadiums, us very excited about them being back at the games, but at the same time about us doing well and like showing now, oh, you are back, so now we're gonna show you like how much we developed as a team. So I think that was interesting situation, but I think it helped us really to kind of rebuild, I wouldn't say the team, but maybe the confidence within the group. Yeah.
Finally, something good to say about COVID. It changed West Ham.
No, well, it's mad though, because I thought about that period a lot. Obviously, I wasn't playing at the time, but you must have seen it at certain clubs and maybe here that players do struggle, don't they? Players, I used to like playing in front of a crowd. And, and if I wasn't playing well, I'd take getting booed, but people do struggle in it. So you can imagine, you know, boys who might have been struggling a little bit, because there was a lot of heat on the club at the time, thought, right, I can show myself a little bit now. Yeah, and when you get that momentum and that confidence back, you know, that's when it started to...
There was for a few years, it was like more or less, but there was a bit of like constant tension on the club. And I think that maybe that helped us as well. But then on the other hand, you I think, who was it? Sheffield United, I remember with the fans, they were like amazing. Once fans couldn't come to the game, suddenly they like completely dropped the level. Like I think they got relegated in the second one. There were like few teams that, you know,
struggled through
it. Struggled because there were no fans. For us, I think it was a bit of like a different story. So I think we really needed to just to calm down a bit in terms of like things like that and focus on football, and then we were able to
It's been nothing but good since.
I know. Well, it's interesting how we've worked the goalkeepers. When we got into Europe, we finished sixth. When we've had three seasons in Europe. Those first two seasons in Europe, we had this cup keeper. Alphonse would be the cup goalkeeper. So in Europe, you'd be on the bench and then in the Premier League. But when we were in Europe, I noticed in those first couple of years, you were always so supportive as a team.
Whenever
there's a shot of the bench, I'd actually say...
He knew the cameras.
The angriest you've ever been is like... Yeah. I think maybe it was a Frankfurt game as well. It would cut to the bench. You would get more animated on the bench than I think I'd ever seen on the pitch.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, on the bench, especially like in the later stages of the European competition, because there's a lot of at stake. So I think that's maybe you get a bit more emotional about things, because I think we're like so close to achieving something special in the first year in Europe. So I think then you get a bit more emotional, but. Enjoyed the whole journey really with the team, because don't get me wrong, I know I didn't play in them games, but I think I was and still am, I feel like, very important part of the team that actually got us there. I think it meant a lot for me. It still means.
I thought as well, when obviously winning the Conference League, I remember there was the trophy parade, and then the big presentation at the town hall. And I think I'm right in saying you were the first one on the stage.
Yeah, I was one of the first ones.
And you were jumping and dancing. And I thought that's amazing to see how much it means to you.
Yeah,
it's like it really is a team sport. And I felt
but it was special. It was like for us, for me personally, it was amazing. So I'm actually very proud. And I know I didn't play any minute during that run, but I still think that you know, I was really important to actually for us to.
100%. Always a big part though, because of the training and
training. But like, I always come back to the one moment. But I don't know if you remember. Like for me, the way we got to the Conference League, it was the point against City at home, the last game of Nopes.
Yeah,
and I saved the pen.
And that
point, like, it was like basically saying, okay, we got the European spot for sure. So no matter the other results in the last game or whatever, on that day, I know that we clinched the European spot. So I think if it wasn't maybe for that save, we would still have to go into final game of the season.
It's all down to Lucas, mate.
I'm not saying.
Nervous and scared.
You can't say it.
Yeah, okay, I'm saying that.
You didn't save that penalty. All down to you.
No, but I think without this point, we will still have to go into final
game. Against
Brighton
more
away.
Pressure,
So then,
Oh, man.
So I'm just saying. So with the 5 minutes to go, it's all right.
You'd be basically you're expecting a statue at West Ham at some point.
It's all right. I just want maybe that's how I explain the why I have to.
That's what you'll tell your kids when you're older. Yeah.
So everything started, you know, like
Man City penalty save.
So bringing it up to the current day, it just feels like over the last few seasons we've added more quality until we've got to where we are this season, and we're doing fantastically well. We've brought in so many great players. And I just wondered, Lucas, who are your favourite players to train with, or even just to watch play?
No, but like everyone that we signed has been really good, really, really good. Like I mentioned, Dinos, very professional on and off the pitch, more the same, like great qualities as well as individual players, Eddie, Prowsey, like all of them, really, really. I think everyone was a bit worried about Declan leaving and how we're going to fill this gap. But I think now nobody really thinks like that. I think you clearly see that the team is really good the way we've been built. So I think, all the signings have been amazing for us. So,
and I spend a little bit of time down the training ground now doing the pod with Chris, but it seems when I'm around the place, the standards are really high, as in like the standards in training, the standards around the ground, the way the players are with the staff at the training ground. Do you think has that come from the gaffer, or is that just the level of player we got now where that is the standard that's expected?
No, gaffer always sets up. Yeah. He's always very demanding in training. So you cannot never really question the way he wants the standards in training to be. And but at the same time, I think the players really try to apply the same thing in the best way. They try to be very competitive. And do the best in training, so that basically helps the team to grow. I think once everyone is here, everyone is fit, it's crazy how competitive and I think joyful at the same time training can be. So I think it's very exciting.
So my last question is: you've now played more games for West Ham than any other club you've played for.
Okay.
So does this mean now you're a West Ham fan for life?
Yeah, I have to be like
good.
I have a like very soft spots for all the clubs that I played for, but I hope everyone will understand that Swansea means really a lot to me, because they were the club that actually gave an opportunity to the goalie that didn't play for 7 years as a number one, and they were the club that trusted me. Okay, we're gonna, you know, sign you and see how you do. And I think because of that, I was able to build myself, and then it carried on into this club. And being here, like for example, if you ask my son, that's the only club he supports. He's crazy about West Ham. So yeah, for sure. I hope. I'm pretty sure I'll be remembered in a good way as a West Ham player. But at the same time, it's a big part of my heart that it's claret and blue, put it this way. So it's a special club, really special club. It's funny because always Nopes says Nopes. Yeah, he says it in a way with the way he describes it. You never know what's around the corner with West Ham, and I think that's what's so exciting.
Put it this way, mate: I came to West Ham and I had a full head of hair. By the time I left,
but I think that's what's
clinging onto it for dear life.
But you know what I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
I think,
no,
but
exactly.
That's what makes
more
it so,
sort of when I was playing. Now it seems a lot more.
But I think that's what makes it special and exciting, And for whatever reason, we always have to go through some
something.
But on the other hand, we always able to bounce back and almost like surprise everyone that we are able to compete for something more than just being in the Premier League. So yeah, if you look even at the recent history, I'm not saying about the European run last year, but just the way the last Premier League season has been, and suddenly this season, like, boom.
Well, there's not many goalkeepers who played 150 plus games for West Ham.
Oh, really?
Still fondly remembered, I would say. And I think I would definitely
remember. So you already like...
No, I'm not writing you off just yet.
You off already.
You've still got to win the Europa League for us this season. So I'm not writing you off just yet. But I'll end on that. How much do you want to win it?
Oh, like, yeah. It's like, it would be crazy. Like, I enjoy it so much because, like, for me, at the moment, like, I really miss the every day, every 3 day or every week, like
playing.
You know, it's like I miss that so much. The atmosphere, the whole nervousness about it and everything. So every time when I have a chance to play, it's special for me. It really is. So yeah, if it comes to winning that tournament, it will be like, yeah.
Oh, mental. Man.
Yeah.
Imagine it.
What is special?
Imagine the scenes.
Yeah, imagine the scenes.
Yeah.
See you in Dublin.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that. Thank you, Lucas. What a chat. And thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week. Until then, come on, you Irons.
Sports Social Podcast Network.